Hey guys, David here. We were looking in the vault and we had an episode that we haven't come across yet. It's a special episode. It's the last episode we have with Wyatt and our producer, Corey. Corey does not drink alcohol at all. So Wyatt and I sat down with him and drank non-alcoholic beers. So this episode's kind of a special one. It's with our dear friend, Corey, who we tried really hard to get on an episode. And we found an episode we can get him on a beer podcast. And that's with non-alcoholic beers. This one is a non-alcoholic beer episode with Corey. Now let's get to the episode. This episode of Taste Masters is brought to you by Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop. Our dear friend, Melissa Diaz, is the bake tender offering local craft beer liquor-infused cupcakes that are off the hook. Our favorite has been the recent ones, the orange creamsicle that had a lot of orange and cream cheese-filled cupcakes. Right now, she has an offer going Mother's Day mixed dozen made with local craft beer and spirits. DM her right now to reserve at least a dozen by May 5th. Again, Mother's Day special going by Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop. Diaz is the cupcake queen of Utah. Hit her up. Until the next cupcakes, my friends. You're listening to the Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. All right, guys. This one, we have a super, super special guest on this episode. Wyatt, actually, you introduced the guest today.
Yeah, okay. So our guest today is Corey, our producer.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show, Corey.
Welcome. We've been trying to get you on, which is crazy because I think you've listened to more of our episodes more
than anybody.
You listen to them live every time we record.
Yeah.
And then re-listen to them as you edit them.
I listen to all the dark, dirty things that nobody else gets to hear.
Yeah, the behind-the-scenes shit.
Right.
But Corey, for a Fuse Audio, you let us use your studio. It's a great space. Thank you so much for being there for us. And I'm just curious, a little thing about Corey, for those who don't know, is Corey is a non-alcoholic drinker. He doesn't drink alcohol.
He doesn't drink beer.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't drink beer.
Which has been—it's been really hard to get him on our beer podcast because of that.
Exactly.
So I'm a hard get.
We've been trying so hard. So I think it was one of these. We're drinking the chocolate milk stout from Salt Flats, and Wyatt goes, Corey, what's it going to take for you to come on this podcast? And Corey says, non-alcoholic beer. And what does Wyatt do? Go out of his way to get non-alcoholic beer, and we got you to cave.
I thought it was something like you guys wouldn't stoop to, right? But
nope.
Here we are.
Okay, you said non-alcoholic beer, and that made me curious. Like, non-alcoholic beer. I like low ABV beer. Let's take it to the next level. So I started doing some research into it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm super excited to try these beers.
No, I'm actually excited for this episode. I think it's a really interesting idea and something that people will be interested to listen to. So
yeah, I kind of so we've got a selection of beers in front of us from Bravas Brewing Co. They're out of Anaheim, California. And they're a non-alcoholic brewery. Dave, you were telling me some stats about them a second ago.
This is their little spiel. Forget what you know about non-alcoholic beer. Those watered-down lagers have nothing on the rich, full-body craft beer Bravas Brewing Company creates. We've spent years and thrown away thousands of gallons of beers in a pursuit to brewing non-alcoholic craft beer style. So basically what they're trying to do is get that same craft beer taste without compromising the taste itself. Take out the alcohol, take out the venom out of the snake, if you will.
And leave all the healthy stuff behind, which is fucking awesome.
And the cool thing about this is in 2019, they won 2 out of 3 available medals in the non-alcoholic category in the JBF.
Nice.
So they are award-winning. They've been doing this for, I believe, 6 years or so. But they're kicking ass, and they have about 12, let's see, 6 available flavors. Wyatt bought all 6. He got the IPA, their India Pale Ale, Oatmeal Stout, Amber Ale. They had non-alcoholic Peanut Butter Stout.
I didn't get the Peanut Butter Stout.
Raspberry Gose and their Cerveza.
And I did get they have a White Ale. White Ale instead of the Peanut Butter Stout.
So, Corey, we have some for you, and Wyatt has opened the first one for us. Before we break it down, have you ever had a beer in your entire life?
I have not.
How old are you?
I am 31 years old.
And not once ever tasted alcohol or had a beer?
So my only, the only time I've crossed paths with alcohol is my grandfather. not currently, but occasionally would have a whiskey or a beer or whatever. But at one point, I needed a prop for a play that I was in. And I asked him if I could borrow a flask that he had. He's like, yeah, sure. So I was like, I took this flask and I had it in my pocket.
What age were you on this one?
This was in high school.
Oh, shit.
So I popped open this whiskey flask and just, you know, pretending, you know, just tipped it up and just a little bit, like a, not even a mouthful, just the little few drops or whatever. Yeah, something.
Yeah.
And it was just, it burned and...
So it was whiskey?
Yeah, yeah, it was whiskey.
Oh, damn, you're whiskey. Your first alcohol experience was in high school, it was
first
whiskey.
First and only, yeah. I mean, you get like every once in a while, like fruit that seems like it has fermented a little bit, whatever. Yeah. But, you know...
Kombucha?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had kombucha?
Do you like kombucha?
I've not, no. And I'm, I don't like the taste of like tea or coffee or things like that. So kombucha kind of falls it's in that same that category for me.
It's got a bunch of black tea, but it doesn't taste like black tea.
No, it doesn't. No.
I mean, it's like,
no,
a lot of people describe it as like vinegary. I never really got vinegary. I think it's like, it's malty a little bit. It's like black tea kind of has that malty character to it, which is kind of why I think I like black tea. But it's like, bubbly and sometimes it can be a little sweeter and you can have stuff.
Well, you and I make it from scratch and so it's really cool and you can kind of, you know, fuck with the recipe a little bit.
Enjoy that process. We need to bring some kombucha on for you sometime.
We'll do a kombucha episode with Corey.
Yeah. God, we should just do some regular episodes with Corey, really.
I'm okay with that. But so Wyatt has just opened this cerveza.
Right on.
So this is, I mean, as we all know, my favorite craft beer, well, beer in general, that's not a craft beer locally, is a Pacifico. I love Pacifico. I love it with a little bit of lime. Did you forget to bring limes, Wyatt?
Oh my God, I didn't even think about bringing
lime. So we're going to give you a Mexican lager without lime, Corey. God damn it. So I guess your virginity is going to be broken the wrong way. But so this
next
one.
Next time.
This one's going to have nice malty corn. Oh, it has lime in it from what I get in the description. Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. But this one, I mean, Wyatt, lagers, my favorite style is lager.
Yeah.
I love lagers. I mean, last couple episodes ago, we did some pilsners. You know, it's in the lager. Mm-hmm. And lagers are just crisp, clean, fresh. Yep. Just, it's easy.
We were talking about before the show, there's like two styles of beer that like, if I can't find anything that I want to drink, I know that I'll enjoy one of these two styles. And like, they're both, I feel like, those kind of styles that are easy to do, okay, you know, really hard to perfect. Like a lot of people, it's like their first beer to brew, but the last one they ever perfect, you know. It's a easy styles, like they're solid go-tos for me. And one is a brown ale. I just fucking love brown ales. And like everywhere I go, if they have a brown ale, I'm like, yeah, I'll try that in your largest container, please. Just kidding. I can't handle that shit. But yeah, I always want to drink brown ales. And then if I can't find anything else, and a lot of times, even if I can find something else that sounds good, I'm like, I just want a cerveza. I love Mexican lagers because I think they're a good representation of like what a pilsner should be. Like Modelo is probably my favorite beer that I can just find everywhere and anywhere. But like pilsners, light lagers, cervezas, like just crisp, clean. A lot of times are really solid. Sometimes they're not though. Like you can fuck them up pretty easy. So starting with the lager.
Right on.
Cheers.
Cheers, Corey. Cheers. I am excited for this one. So this one, it has less than a 0.5% of ABV. So alcohol. So it has 0.5% alcohol in it. So it's a
interesting nose.
Basically less than a drop is what they're saying.
It almost smells like
socks.
Like fruity.
Yeah. Almost. I could, you know, almost like almost a little bit of like, I can see fruity, like warm fruit. Yeah. Look, it's a cop out to say lime, but like, I kind of get a little lime.
I get corn.
A little citrus. Definitely a lot of corn though.
Hella corn on the
definitely
nose.
Definitely corn.
Yeah.
Hella corn. So I want to know what your take of the smell is. Like before you taste it, Corey, like we smell.
No, it smells good. It smells familiar too, which is weird.
Yeah.
Does it smell like something you want to partake of? Like, is it like, I can see what you want to dive further into the
I definitely want to taste it and see if the taste matches the
smell. So when you taste it, like, I want to put this in my mouth.
Exactly. And that's what I want to know. Do you want to put it in your mouth?
Absolutely.
Corey? I don't want to put it in my mouth until you put it in your mouth.
Whatsoever.
I'm not going to try this until you try it, Corey.
I want you to do it first.
I want you to tell me what you think about it.
So the flavor, at least at first, isn't as strong as the smell is. Hmm. The smell is definitely stronger. A lot of
interesting. That's a weird flavor.
I feel like it's a lot of carbonation. Hmm. Like, yeah. Like carbonated water tastes. I feel like I'm getting a lot of that.
It tastes like beer flavored water.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It
doesn't have that crispy, like, lager kind
of
thing that I'm looking for.
This doesn't do lager justice, Corey. But what I get is, if you know when you boil a pot of water and you put the corn stalks in after you shuck it and you put the corn in there, and maybe your grandma throws like a stick of butter in there, and that butter water didn't chill in the corn? Mm-hmm. That's what this tastes like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Corn water with a little bit of butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not a strong flavor. Aside from, like, the carbonated water taste. That's the prominent flavor, I think.
I'm disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. You know what, though? It's not the worst lager we've had on the podcast.
You're completely right. Yeah.
But I guess it tastes like beer-flavored water to me.
Yeah. And I guess first impression is probably not something I would return to.
Go out again?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
So then, Corey, before we go into our next beer, I want to know, after this experience, I mean, why don't you drink?
That's a pretty deep question. Lot of different angles to that. But
alcoholic, huh? That's like, anytime I go to a bar with someone and they're like, "No, I don't drink," I'm like, "Oh, so you're an alcoholic."
So it's interesting you say that, and I'll come back to that. Like I said, there's a lot of different reasons, and I can go into all sorts of different things. Like, for example, I am diabetic, type 1 diabetic. So I try to avoid drinking sugar or carbs or whatever, because the insulin that I take has a hard time keeping up with the liquid sugar, essentially.
Yeah. That shit hits your bloodstream faster than any of
it. Yeah. It's faster than my insulin can handle it. So that's part of it. another part of it is, I don't like, taking things like painkillers that make me feel loopy or whatever. Not that I don't really know if alcohol would have that, how intensely alcohol would have that effect on me. Yeah.
Depends on how much you drink.
But I like to maintain my faculties, I guess.
Be in control?
Yeah.
I feel that. A common thread with people, be in control.
there's the aspect of I guess for me, aside from the diabetes, the health aspect of the amount of calories that might come with drinking a beer or whatever, especially being diabetic, I have a tendency to be fatter than most people.
What?
Okay. Yeah, because diabetics have a hard time keeping off weight. They have a hard time burning fat, because their body defaults to burning sugar. Okay. And because you're taking insulin, the insulin burns the sugar and you have to have the insulin in your body. So you don't really have a chance. You don't really give your body a chance to burn fat rather than the sugar. So I try to monitor that. At the end of the day, though, what it boils down to, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but what it boils down to is my belief system. I am LDS. As such, most of our listeners probably know that members of the LDS Church, or Mormons, more commonly known, they don't drink alcohol. That's just, you know, that's a decision that I have made and something that I believe in. And so it's, all other reasons aside, you know, the decision, kind of rooted in that belief system is kind of where most of that, decision was made.
Gotcha. Yeah. I want to touch on the diabetes thing.
Yeah.
So what's it like to be a diabetic in a normal world? I mean, do you look at things in like fast food restaurants or any restaurant or even in your fridge and be like, I can't have this because that has X amount. Like, I'm not diabetic. I don't know. I don't look at something and be like, yeah, that is going to give me a shot and a half of insulin. I don't know. Like, yeah. What's it like to be a diabetic in like a world? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
How so?
Because everything, it's similar. I have a sister-in-law who is gluten intolerant.
Okay.
And it's similar to that. If anyone is familiar with that, where you have to avoid eating certain things and, you know, really find the gluten-free stuff, whatever, or it has an effect on your body. There is sugar in everything. Mm-hmm. And things, you know, a lot of people say, oh yeah, don't eat your candy bars and don't drink your soda and you'll be okay. But a loaf of bread, there's a lot of carbs in bread. Carbs are sugar, you know, right. It's all the same thing. You know, an apple, my dad always says, you know what, instead of eating, you know, this, a donut, why don't you eat an apple instead? And then your sugar will be fine. Well, the donut,
like the
donut and the apple hey, affect Bob, my blood sugar the in the exact same way. Yeah. You know, I have to take the same amount of insulin for both. So, sometimes that can be confusing, to people, because you think an apple, well, that's healthy, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, yeah, you got to watch things that hit your or affect your blood sugar more than other things. Like for me, a stack of pancakes makes my blood sugar go way higher than, you know, nachos or something like that. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So there are certain foods that for whatever reason, the way the ingredients combined and whatever affect your sugar more. I mean, so yeah, it sucks.
It's with pancakes, like you're probably putting syrup on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you're drinking or putting on drinking regular syrup, right, if you're putting on like true maple syrup, that's still super high sugar content.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's liquid death. If you see absolutely. Syrup, you're just like, do you see syrup as like just kind of skulls, just like crossbones, like death? Death.
I try to avoid eating things too.
But you
many.
Still dabble, do you?
Yeah, I. Okay. I mean,
I feel like I couldn't do like an
because it's
zero.
It's you're not living right if you avoid it all the time. So like my wife and I really like to go to Black Bear Diner. It's one of our one of our favorite places to eat breakfast places.
Yeah,
to
it's
eat.
Got a lot of breakfast. Have you been there, Wyatt?
Yeah.
And yeah, they make great pancakes and whatever. But every single time, I just know I'm going to walk out of there with really high blood sugar, and I have to compensate for it by taking more insulin.
So do you have like a? Well, I heard a thing, and I don't know how true this is, but insulin's hella expensive. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, depending on your insurance coverage. And I, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be working in a job where I have really good insurance coverage for medications specifically. So as soon as I hit my out of pocket max or minimum, whatever it is, I end up not paying out of pocket for my insulin, which is just, it's not a lot of people are able to get that. I know my sister-in-law, my brother and sister-in-law, their daughter is also diabetic, and they're always talking about how expensive their insurance or insulin costs are.
Yeah.
Compared to mine, and you know, I just feel really fortunate that my insurance is structured the way it is. Yeah.
So I feel like drinking beer specifically, because you got your malt, your water. It's basically sugar water. Yeah, like that's what I make sugar water. And then I don't make beer, I make sugar water. That's what I do.
Yeah, the yeast
makes
the beer.
Yeast makes the beer, right? And so I feel like for a diabetic, if I was diabetic, I don't think I'd be in this career as being a brewer because...
No, you wouldn't be able to.
I'd be like, fuck this shit.
Even when it comes really down hard. To it, like alcohol, it's funny because a lot of people will come into the bar and be like, oh yeah, like I'm keto, I'm low carb. And they're like, I'll just take vodka water. I'm like, okay, well, alcohol digests in your bloodstream the same way the sugar does. So
yeah,
even if you did drink alcohol, it would spike your blood sugar, and, right. and it would mess with that. So I mean, that's
right.
Health reasons and you know, religious reasons. Like, I respect all that. I have two questions for you, and they're along the same vein, or I guess two. One's a question, one's a comment. One is, have you ever tried like a keto diet or anything like that?
To get into ketosis?
Yeah, because I mean, in ketosis, well, you're obviously not getting any or very few carbs. Your body is, you know, using ketones as fuel, which are derived from fat, and so you don't have to worry about your blood sugar spiking. It's a pain in the ass to get there.
But all the literature I've read into is basically people who are diabetic can get into keto, like true ketosis. Like, they can not necessarily kick their insulin dependence, but it'll help them dramatically.
Well, I mean, they don't need it because they don't have the sugars anymore.
They don't have that sugar that you have to fight.
Right.
Have you thought about it?
I have, and it's actually... one of the things that, whenever you go to the doctor's office, they are concerned about is people, going into or experiencing ketosis.
Yeah.
Too often because it's, and I don't know if it's, the same for everybody. But for me, what they're always asking, why they're always asking about it is they're concerned about my kidneys and my kidney function.
Yeah.
Because diabetes is hard on the body. Even if you are healthy and and you're eating very few carbs and whatever, diabetes is still hard on the body and can be particularly hard on the kidneys, especially if you are experiencing really high blood sugar all the time. And so, maybe you're not taking your insulin or you've become kind of insulin resistant. And so your body is gaining energy through this ketosis process. That process can be, damaging to the kidneys.
Interesting. I wonder why is that? Because I mean, at least a lot of the literature I've read on ketosis, is that it's like generally works pretty well for people in diabetics or people who are diabetic, like being in a ketogenic state because they're not, their body just basically, cause like, okay, so I did keto for like 6 months and it was probably the best feeling 6 months of my life. I was powerlifting at the time. My strength rose fast while I was on ketosis. And I attribute a lot of that to the programming that I was using as well. But like, ketosis increased my free testosterone count and like I got strong, but I also lost weight, which was crazy. I was like 225 when I started, got into ketosis, and then dropped down to about 205 without losing any strength. In fact, gaining strength, which is ridiculous. Like, that doesn't really happen. And I felt great. Like, right now I'm not keto because of some other things I have to do, like career-wise, would take too long to explain on a podcast right now, but ultimately, like my plan is to go back to ketosis as soon as I can and stay there.
Well, and you got to remember too that your body is still creating insulin, even if you are utilizing a diet that doesn't necessarily require your body to make an excess of insulin, your body is still creating insulin. Your body needs some level of insulin to function properly. My body is not creating insulin at all. And so that ketosis process kind of runs rampant a little bit. and admittedly, I'm no expert on the topic. I get kind of depressed sometimes when I deep dive too much into diabetes because it's like, ugh, yeah, I have this disease, I have this problem, and it's going to be with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
but I do know that, you know, like, every doctor that I've had like 3 or 4 different, endocrinologists specifically, every single one of them this is something that they bring up and they talk about because they want to preserve as much of the, you know, of my internal organs, their regular function as possible, yeah. Specifically the kidneys. And so they don't want to take any chances with, even for a short period of time with trying, you know, essentially, before I was diagnosed, that's what my body was doing. It was in a ketosis state, because I, no matter how much I was eating or what I was eating, yeah. my body wasn't
it couldn't process processing that, those carbohydrates.
It. And so it was just burning fat.
Yeah.
And I lost like 40 pounds.
I imagine it's burning fat, but then you've got a ton of excessive sugar in your bloodstream as well.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that contrasted.
So I don't know. I don't know if the science, on ketosis, is if there's like a line that separates people who do not have diabetes and are still creating some level of insulin in their body versus people who are not, and if the research differs in some way based on those two different criteria. Hey guys, this is Corey. I feel like I need to cut in here and explain better my thoughts here. I don't feel like I gave a very satisfactory explanation. So there is a difference between ketosis and ketoacidosis. Ketosis is, you know, what people experience when they are doing a keto diet, where you're doing low to zero carb, and your body burns fat for energy. And this process is fine. Ketoacidosis, on the other hand, is similar in that your body is burning fat for energy, but it creates ketones, which build up in the kidneys. And insulin, the insulin that your body creates, helps to break down those ketones. Then you piss them out. However, because diabetics don't, especially type 1 diabetics, because they don't create their own insulin, this process can be problematic for them. So a keto diet might contribute to the buildup of ketones in the kidneys, which can be damaging to the kidneys over time. So that's why doctors, when they're talking about a keto diet for diabetic patients, they may not necessarily say don't do it, but they might caution against it or want to monitor the process fairly carefully, because there is this potential for diabetics to experience ketoacidosis as they are trying to put their body into a ketosis state. I hope that gives a better explanation of why it's potentially problematic for diabetics. Anyway, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic, one of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. You like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
My guess is it's probably just not there yet. Like,
yeah, maybe
keto is, it sounds like a trend, but like I've heard of people doing it, you know, as far back as like 30 years ago. But like the science associated with it is pretty new compared to, you know, other areas and facets of science, right, and medicine. And so like, I imagine that, you know, it's going to be maybe like 20 years down the road, we might have some studies on keto and diabetes, but until then, it seems like
that's fascinating, Corey. I'm sorry you have to deal with that. I mean, that's something that you probably, you know, it's kind of a pain in the ass, and we're sitting here drinking beers in front of you, and I apologize for that.
With all that heavy stuff aside, let's get into some beers.
Crack us to the, you're opening the IPA right now.
Yeah.
And on that note, Corey, what's your personal understanding and belief on alcohol?
Admittedly, not very deep, my understanding of it. You know, a lot of my, understanding comes from exposure. So because I live in Utah,
which is little to none, right?
Right. Little to none beyond, you know, the media, right? movies, television,
Hollywood,
that kind of
thing.
And then doing this podcast with you guys has kind of taught me a lot about things that I had no idea about, especially in the craft beer world, where you guys are talking about the science behind it and kind of what goes into it and stuff. It's very interesting getting that information as a listener, and in particular as somebody who has had little to no exposure to alcohol as a whole. You know, I certainly haven't ever felt schmammied, as you so lovingly put it.
So you've never been drunk. Do you ever want to be drunk? Do you ever, do you think that to be a something you kind of wish you were there and be like, you know what, I can decide whether I like it or not.
Well, and that kind of comes back to, I like being
in control.
In control. Mm-hmm. You know, I when I look at it and when I think about it, I have yet to feel like I'm missing out on something. Okay. And I've kind of wondered sometimes what it would be like or whatever, but I, never have I really felt like, oh, I'm missing out on something.
Right. Know? Gotcha.
Because, you know, not that everyone's experience, with being drunk is this way, but I remember all the things that I do. Right. And some people who, go out and have a wild night, may not remember much of the things that went on, you know? So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, in a way, I can see where you're going from, because it has a negative connotation when it comes to when people get blacked out. It's not fun. You don't remember what happened. Where's my wallet? Where did I get here? Like, that sucks. Like, yeah. Has it happened to me?
And
absolutely.
I recognize that that's not the majority
exactly.
of people's
is it every time? Yeah. No, for, I guess my question to you in a roundabout way is, my favorite analogy is a sushi analogy. Growing up, my parents hated sushi, so I hated sushi. Why? I couldn't tell you. My parents hated sushi. But it's not until I dabbled into sushi, I realized, oh,
this is really
it's
good.
Not all bad.
Yeah.
Right? And so I guess, Corey, you came from a background where your parents were very... You know, alcohol is bad. Alcohol is not good for you. Don't do it. But have you ever learned for yourself? Have you ever branched out and figured out, hey, this sushi is not that bad, or Brussels sprouts, or, you know, mango? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's a way where you can, you got to find out for yourself at one point and not just go off of hearsay and what goes off of what others had said, especially people you trust.
Right.
It's like, at one point, this is, what's the declaration say? We have the right to pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And whatever that means, that you should be able to go and pursue that happiness, whatever that means for to you.
Right. And
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You
know, life, that's, liberty, pursuit of happiness, yeah.
That's, you know, it used to be life, liberty, and the it was like life, liberty, and the right to own property.
Oh,
that was
God,
what
yeah,
it initially was, and then they changed it to the pursuit of Jesus. Happiness.
No, that's a fair point, because, you know, you never want to be... you never want to be knowingly ignorant of something.
Yeah.
But, like I said, you are coming from, you're approaching this from the angle of, this is something that makes you happy. And so, you know, naturally it's something that would make others happy. I don't feel like I'm unhappy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And perhaps if I were to imbibe, if you will, perhaps that would make me happy. But there's a this kind of comes back to the religious foundation of where I'm coming from. There's this other part of my life that also makes me happy. And the two don't coincide with each other very well. And so, you know, I would kind of have to choose one or the other. And, you know, thus far in my life, I have continued to choose that religious foundation, over some of the other things like drinking alcohol.
But if you're 31 years old and you're content with where you are, I mean, I'm not going to argue and sit here and be like, hey, join the dark side. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and push you what, you know, what makes you happy. If it truly makes you happy, it makes you happy.
Yep.
However, at the same time, I feel like in order to master certain aspects of life, you have to dabble to understand, oh, you know what? I did make the right choice. And that's the Book of David.
You have to make the mistake to know that.
Exactly.
What it's like to not make the mistake.
Why you do a lot of MMA. You do like a lot of...
I did a little bit.
You do stuff where, you know, you have hardcore workouts. You do a lot of body strength, body lifting. You do a lot of things that I'm like, you know what? That's too much for me. I don't like a swim. You like swimming? Not a fan of swimming. But I wouldn't know that until I went and dabbled into that.
Yeah.
And then for sure, but you know what? I do not like it. For example, roller coasters. Fucking hate roller coasters. Well, Holly loves roller coasters. I don't know why. I hate the feeling of your balls being in your throat. Like, I hate that so much. I hate it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've tried and tried and tried again. I don't like roller coasters. I will hold your guys' bags and purses for as long as you want while you guys go have fun. I'm okay with that. I'm just going to crack open a beer or whatever and just chill. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But for me, going to Lagoon and all that bullshit, I don't like it because it's just a waste of money for me.
David, let's go skydiving.
I can't do it. No way. No chance. Absolutely not.
I see where you're coming from. Like, I mean, it's like the same thing for you with, you know, like MMA type stuff. Like, maybe you would love getting punched in the face. I didn't realize how
that
much
discipline I might like. I might need that discipline in my life for sure. Yeah.
And like I've been seeing you at 5 a.m. going to the gym. I've been noticing. It's cool. I've seen you.
It's tough.
We've crossed paths. I like you. But like,
I think
it's kind of like the same thing.
At 5 a.m. in the gym.
Zero.
it's like the same thing. Like Corey, you know, you don't want to get shmammied, right? And I think your reason is solid. Like.
Yeah,
I've got two thoughts I'm playing with right here. One is like, you know, it's almost like a don't knock until you tried it. But at the same time, like you can see, you know, like me come home with like, I've got a cut on my nose right now. And like from just sparring and like that might not be something that interests you. You can be like, I don't know why you want to go somewhere where people punch you in the face and choke you out for fun. Like that's. But like at the same time, like some of my best experiences, especially recently, and like some of my best friends are the people who like, I'm like, hey, what's up, man? You want to try to like kill each other now for a couple of minutes? And like, I'll tell you if you get too close to killing me and then we can start over. And like, that's, you know, tapping out or whatever. And like, that's super fun to me. That's like better than therapy. But like, maybe it's not to you. And you know enough about yourself to know that that's not it
but
for you.
I know about myself because instead of keeping up with the Joneses, I went against the grain, if you will. Yeah. And I decided to go, you know what, I'm going to figure out for myself. Because I was always taught from my parents, who are both LDS, by the way, they both told me, hey, you need to understand, like, go try what you want to try and, like, figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And if they truly loved me and truly meant that, then I truly should go find out. It doesn't matter where they came from or what they taught me their entire life and they crushed through my head growing up. I should go out and find out for myself.
Yeah.
And I did. And luckily, thank God, I have this partner who... And Holly, where she supported that, and she's like, you know what? I'm on this ride with you. And it's a ride or die. And it's because, you know, I feel like if I didn't have Holly, I'd be a lot more, if you see that Hollywood, like kind of the negative aspect of it, where it's like, maybe I'll be in a ditch somewhere. I don't know. I'm just saying that because, you know, it's a scary part that everyone's scared about.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that I feel like my relationship's more open and I can just like, I care less about like the nitpicky things that I know what I do and don't like even more because of what I've ventured out, if you will. Not saying you're closed-minded, Corey, at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for me personally, you know, going against what my parents just drilled into my head and for myself. Because I was like, you know what? In order to swim, you got to get in the pool at some time.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to drown.
You
want to
learn to swim.
You have to.
You got to jump in the pool and drown for a week.
You have to.
That's just how
and
you
so,
do it.
And so, I guess, Corey, from this episode, you know, drinking these beers, what were you thinking, like, would come from this? What would you think doing this non-alcoholic beer episode? Be like,
Well, I mean, the primary reason is because it sounded like fun. It sounded like something that people would enjoy listening to. Hanging out with you guys is always fun.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of, have you guys tried this non-alcoholic IPA?
Not yet. We got to do that first. Which one is it? This one?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Smells super funky, right?
I mean, you got the hops to the nose, but then you got that corn base again.
Yeah, corn again.
Oh, I can't tell which one of these is which.
It's this one right here.
This one right here?
Yeah.
The more floral one, Corey.
Yeah, I get that.
But you saw that. For me, it's like that corn base still.
It tastes super spicy, which is surprising to me. weird hop flavors, but like mostly just spice.
Oh yeah,
right?
There is some almost heat to that. Yeah.
So that floralness you're getting, Corey, that's hops. Okay. Whenever we bitch about hops or talk about hops, that's hops.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly what hops they use in this. They don't explain what
weird
hops.
Weird spice, dude.
But that malt bill they use, it's got like, to me, it's that same corn from the cerveza.
Yeah.
A different glass, so it's not sharing the same glass.
Yeah.
But I get that sweetness from that corny sweetness malt. Yeah. Ugh.
I do like that their ingredients, they put the ingredients on all their cans, and the ingredients are water, barley, hops, yeast. Fucking awesome.
Huh.
David.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So it sounded like you were making two sides. Like you were making a point and then you were making another point. You were playing your own devil's advocate there.
Sounds
right?
Typical of me, yeah.
Yeah. So you were like, you know, you don't know if you like or don't like something until you've tried it, but then you were like,
but I'm content my own ways.
But you do like, you know, MMA sparring and stuff, and like that's not something I would ever want to do. But then like I know what I like to do because I've tried it. But like I guess my question is, have you ever been punched in the face, David?
Yes, in elementary school, but like truly punch my face.
Like
no.
as an adult.
Absolutely not.
So how do you know you don't like being punched in the face?
So going back to that comment, if you asked me and truly
said, such a weird conversation.
Hey, if you want to go spar with me, I would lace up and go spar with you. I really would. Because I secretly would like to try it. But I guess we all like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And being comfortable, we don't grow. I'm a firm believer of in comfort, we don't grow.
Yeah.
You gotta be uncomfortable to grow a little bit. And so I'm not saying I wouldn't spar with you. I really would. Give me the time of day. Hey, let's one Saturday morning, I would lace it up for you and get my ass taken. Because for me, I feel like I'm already out of shape enough. I mean, I work out frequently, but I feel like I'm not in the condition. I see all these MMA or these boxers or these, you know, whatever. They're in better shape than I am, and I know I'll be gassed before I be in pain. And I'm a wuss to pain. So I just know, I think going in, I'm giving myself a sense of doubt where I'm like, I think I would hate this, but I would try it. I still would try it.
What are you doing tomorrow? What time do you work?
Working. 8 a.m.
You work at 8?
Make it a weekend, and I'll go with you.
Okay. I'm trying to make a weekend.
Well, if you're gonna throw that at me, then that's like going to Corey and be like, hey, Corey, why don't you get drunk with me one of these nights? And I guess that's just too much for you. That's just too much. I would never, if you ever say to me, hey, I want to go have a drink with you, I would be like, you know what, let's go. Chili's right now.
Right.
Let's go. Or whatever. They're in local brewery, let's do this. I don't know why I said Chili's, but let's go. You know?
Because Chili's usually has a good selection
they
of local
have,
craft beers.
They have Margarita Tuesdays. It's fine.
Yeah.
But if you were to come, knowing you, if you were to come with me to drink, I would never let you become out of control where like all of a sudden your credit cards are gone, ATM machines open, and there's a bunch of... You're in the ditch somewhere and all these whores came and just stole all your money. Like that wouldn't happen. But I would sit here and make sure that you had a good time.
Right.
And it was fun, right? That's my, I think a common misconception with drinking is sometimes can you get wild? Yeah. But I think you got to kind of dabble to figure out. Because why? You've been.
It definitely
you,
doesn't every time.
No, like, but have you been blacked out, why?
Yeah, a couple of times. But I mean, okay.
It's not your goal every time you drink,
no,
right?
I hate getting blacked out. Everyone and I don't does. Even like getting
Everyone
drunk.
Everyone does. But yeah. I feel like you have to go blackout and be like, mistakes were made. Right? But you have to. And you're
Dude,
like,
those
you know,
are like some of my funniest memories are like the day after.
They are.
Trying to figure out what the fuck happened.
Exactly.
But like, I don't know. Because I grew up LDS as well. I think we all did. And like, I remember in like young men's, and they were talking about alcohol, and they're like, you always. And they gave the same reason, like, you know, I want to remember the things that I want to remember all the things that I do. And I'm like, first of all, I remember so little that I've done sober. Like, so, like you were talking about that. And I was like, just memories of like the times I've been drinking with like friends and stuff like that. And like my wife is like the times that we've drank together. Like one of our first dates, we snuck a bottle of wine into a movie theater and it was like fucking awesome. It was such a fun time. And like, I don't think she remembers all of that, but I remember all of that because she was definitely more confident with the amount of alcohol that she could drink than I was. But like, I don't know. Like I was always taught, like, you know, you're gonna drink, you're gonna have one drink, and you're gonna be drunk, and you're not gonna remember anything.
Right.
And like, that's definitely not how it is.
It's always like, it's always taught.
It's taught like it's the worst.
Yeah, and I hate it.
The exact
I hate dreams. It.
Yeah,
because like that is not what the point of the religious perspective of it is.
Yeah.
To me, and this kind of ties into what you were saying, David, to me, the point is not, don't drink alcohol cause it's bad for you. The point is, don't drink alcohol because, it's a choice and it's something that God has asked, is kind of what it boils down to. And it's not always easy because something like drinking alcohol can be really fun and really fulfilling and, yeah, and a lifestyle that is fun to be part of. But if you can exercise that self-control or that power of will to
willpower,
refrain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for saying willpower instead of power of will. Like
you.
I'm some idiot.
I think power of will is a song, right?
If you can exercise that, that in and of itself can be fulfilling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I like to look at it from that perspective rather than what pretty much 98% of the rest of the church thinks is like, don't drink alcohol because it's bad for you. I think that's short-sighted. I think that's perhaps the wrong way to look at it.
It's very short, very short-term.
Yeah.
I think you made a great point early on, and this is kind of where I wanted to get to with these questions. Is like, it's less because of, you know, it's bad for you here and it can cause you to make bad decisions. And like, all of that's true. Like, you can cut. There's a reason that Alcoholics Anonymous is a thing. It's because alcohol can cause you, it can take over your life if you let it. And it can have some terrible consequences. It can also be perfectly fine if you can control yourself. And I like more the, you know, I don't drink because I have this belief system and the belief system says don't drink, and it's a faith thing as more than it is a health thing. Because like, I've heard so many people, and we talked about this, you know, last week, like a coffee thing. Like, there are people that I know that who are LDS and they're like, I don't drink coffee because the acidity is bad for you.
Right.
I'm like, that's the acidity of coffee. I looked it up because I was like, someone got after me about it like 2 weeks ago and they're like, the acidity in coffee is bad for you. That's why I don't drink coffee. And I'm like, you've got a fucking 44 ounce Dr. Pepper. I was like, the acidity in Dr. Pepper is 2.4 on the pH scale. That's very acidic.
Right.
Like, vinegar is like 2 to 4. On the pH scale, depending on the type of vinegar you use. That's super acidic, right? Vinegar can like there's a reason that Coca-Cola can be used to pick up oil stains in your driveway. It's super acidic. The pH of coffee is 6 to 7. That's significantly less acidic.
Closer to water.
Yeah. Right. It's water on average is like
7.6.
Yeah. Maybe? 7 to 8. You can drink like the alkaline water and that's like 8.1 or whatever. And so like, that's a little more base, but like neutral is like what? 7 to 8.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so like, coffee is almost neutral, whereas Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola isn't quite as bad. It's like 3.5 or something like that. But like, don't give me some bullshit, like not quite medical excuse.
It's
like,
tell me it's faith. Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was something you said a while ago that I think was really awesome. And it was like, you know, drinking booze, like I could, you know, have some good times and it can make me happy. But right now I've got a belief system that structures my world and my worldview.
Yeah.
And that's makes me happy and that's fulfilling. And I think really the point of life is not so much to be happy. And I hear a lot of people say like, do whatever makes you happy. And I'm like, I don't think that's it, because you can do some dumb shit that makes, like, I'll bet smoking crack makes you super fucking happy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like, no one looks at a crackhead and says like, that's where I want to be
exactly,
in 10
right.
years. Like,
absolutely.
It's not,
perhaps
life isn't
you can
about,
say, do what makes you fulfilled.
I think it's
right?
fulfilled. I think it's meaning.
Yeah.
I think it's like, the goal of life is not to be happy. The goal of life is to live a meaningful life.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So whatever that is to you, and I think religion is like, it's almost like, it's like using a cheat code. Like, it's almost fucking cheating. It really is. Because like, they're like, hey, if you join this group think, then like, you don't have to come up with your own meaning.
We have some structure.
We'll give it to you. You can have, this is your meaning.
You're right.
And it's like, holy shit, that was so fucking easy. And now I'm living a meaningful life.
And, Elliot,
and it's like, I'm not saying it like it's a bad thing. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
If you can truly fall into a religion, if you can truly jump in and believe wholeheartedly in a religion, like, I think religion has caused some terrible fucking things in the world. Like, you look at all of, not all, but the majority of the wars right now, you know, it's a lot of them are religion. Like, there's some terrible things that have happened in the name of religion.
Yeah.
You can even the Christianity, you can look in the history of Christianity and like the way that you could describe Syria right now with all the rape and pillaging and torture that's happening is fucking terrible, right? Like, ISIS is still there. You know, we may have taken away like their actual land, but like they're still there as an insurgency. Like, you can look at the history of Catholicism in Italy and like, it was worse at points. Like, there are popes who have murdered thousands of people. Like, Christians have been evil, evil people, but at the same time, you can find meaning. And I think if it's used for good in the right way,
you gotta like, be careful with those blanket statements.
You really do.
Because, you know, saying Christians have been evil people, some Christians have also been
amazing
great.
People, and some. Yeah.
You gotta
I'm not
look
saying
at,
Christians are evil. That's not, right, not the point I'm getting at here.
It's more semantic. You're, you know, like making sure that we're not using those blanket statements. Yeah. But
well, and that's the problem is I think that you can fall into groupthink.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So once you fall into that, then like, you know, I think it can build on each other. And so if you're going in a direction that is good, then it can build on itself and be good. And I think Christianity more or less can do that. I think that it can also go in a direction of bad.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of joining into that kind of like groupthink thing of like, here, we'll provide your meaning. And then like next thing you know, fucking crusades. But like, it could also be next thing you know, like here we are raising a happy family and we've created a...
If you allow your personal structure, belief structure to be dictated by a religion... that's one thing, right? And that can be perhaps problematic because you don't have your own belief structure. You have their belief structure.
Yeah.
But I believe you can have your own belief structure that is founded. Its foundation is rooted in a religion, right?
Well, I mean, if you think about like the Western world, the Western world's belief structure of what's right and wrong essentially comes from Christianity.
Right.
And like Christianity... Like, we could get into some deep shit. Like, Christianity, I think, has essentially caused its own demise in the constant search for truth, because then you can be like, well, like, did these prophets really live 700 years? Like, is the earth really only 4,000 years old? Like, no, we've got archaeology that proves it's older than that. So, like, there's some pros and cons, but I think that, like, ultimately, a lot of the values that we value in the Western world, like, come from Christianity. And like there's obviously some good things there. And like jumping into a religion can have a lot of value in that it can like color your life and give you meaning, but like you can also find meaning outside of that.
Right.
And I think that's the whole point of life. That's what I'm getting at, is that the whole point of life is not to be happy, it's to find something meaningful.
That
something that
you
can be passionate about and that helps the world be a better place. It's a fulfillment. So I think a religion can color that, and I think you can also find that on your own without religion.
Right. So Corey, with that being said, you're saying, you know, your religion is, you know, alcohol is kind of like, we just don't do it. But what's your behavior around alcohol now? With your beliefs, with you as a Corey,
right. Like,
what's your behavior around alcohol?
Well, I mean, my whole thing, like I said, you know, I have my own personal belief structure that I have built for myself, and it happens to be founded in a religion.
Based roots in religion, yeah.
But you guys have a personal belief structure that's completely different, and we can coexist in, you know, this podcast, in this world, whatever.
Yeah. I think beyond that, we can work together.
Yeah.
Like, for Christ's sake, you're our producer. Yeah. You don't drink beer, but you're producing a podcast about
beer. I
hate
you guys so much. No, but like the whole, I think I started talking about this, but one of the foundational principles of the Mormon religion specifically, but I think in a lot of religions, is the ability to choose, the ability to make a decision for yourself. That's what everything is built around. It's the thing that everything keeps coming back to, is the ability of that we have to choose for ourselves. And whether or not we make a good choice or a bad choice might not be ours to dictate, right?
Right.
But we can make that decision, regardless.
It's like,
and so freedom. I think I want everybody around me to feel just as liberated to make decisions for themselves, to live their life as I do. You know, I have made the decision not to drink alcohol, and I want you guys to make, to be able to make the decision,
yeah,
free of judgment to drink alcohol. I want, you know, I am married. I have two kids. I have chosen that for myself. But if, my neighbor, wants to get married and just happens to want to marry a man or a woman, if, you know, I want them to be free to make that choice. You know, I want people to be free to, choose for themselves the life that they want to live. Now, whether or not there is a right and a wrong, that can be a different debate that we can have later. But I don't have any right or responsibility to say to anybody else but myself.
Yeah.
Well, that's
what
that's,
choice to make.
Like that's a super Christian like point of view, and I think the Christian church is.
I don't think so. I'm actually going to push back on that because I think a lot of Christians are my way or the highway.
If you're not with me, you're against me.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of Christians in the world who are not very tolerant of, you know, certain behaviors. They're not very tolerant, specifically right now in the world, talking about homosexuality. They're not very tolerant of something like that. But who gave them the responsibility, let alone the right, to dictate what somebody else gets to choose?
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of the where I approach this conversation to alcohol, you know.
And that's why I think, Corey, you have that great root of just like, hey, let's be a good human. I'm not gonna, and that's why I respect that you sit here and listen to our podcast. No matter like, hey, these guys drink beer, they bring a bunch of people, they may get a little buzzed and or drunk in my studio. I'm like, I still would invite them to dinner. You know what I mean? Like, you still have Wyatt and I in front of you and like, hey, let's have dinner, let's hang out, whatever. You're not going to judge us and shame us and put us aside. And I respect that for you. And that's why Wyatt poured this last beer for you. I really want to break down for you because it's the last beer I'm going to try to, because these two first two beers, what was your opinion on the first two beers by chance?
The first one, the smell was nice. But it, you know, we kind of talked about it.
It's meh.
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah.
The second one, it was okay. The taste was okay. It lingered a lot longer.
And that's the hop. We talk about hops. You're not familiar with hops. That's hops. And so at least it can kind of showcase the hop for you. One's one of Wyatt's favorite styles, right? The amber.
Yeah. I mean, ambers are just like usually well-balanced and easy.
Yeah.
So they typically should be like kind of toasty, kind of bready. And they should be malty and just sexy and brown. So, I mean, go ahead and give the nose and see what you think.
Be the darkest one. You can look. The color is going to be significantly darker.
It's going to be like an amber color.
Oh, that smells nice.
Yeah. Smells really nice.
What do you smell on that, on the nose? I'm curious.
You know I'm not good at this because...
But that's why we're here. I want you to see what you, from all you're listening to us, what can you smell?
We could probably put some things in your head if you want.
See, it's a familiar smell, yeah. But I don't know if I can put a name to it because it's things that I've smelled before, you know, and I've played shows in bars and things. So like I'm familiar with the smell of alcohol, or, you know, beer or whatever.
Right.
Bread, toast.
Yeah. Toast. Toast is a good descriptor.
I get a lot of toast on this.
I almost get like some flavors of coffee.
Yeah. So that's like a roasted grain.
Yeah. There's almost a little roastiness there. Not a lot, but a little bit.
You guys get the same corn base that's got in all three beers?
I do, but not as much. And you know what? I don't think it's the corn. Yeah, I think that's just what that malt smells like without the alcohol.
I
want to
know what malt they're using. Because they put rice in some of these.
They must
too.
Have the same base malt in all of them.
Damn.
Yeah, a little, not, I wouldn't say quite coffee. Maybe like toffee.
Yeah.
David doesn't like this one. He's making faces. This is my favorite one we've had yet.
I think so too. I think, I don't think it's something that I would drink on the reg, but I think I've enjoyed this one more than the other two.
Did you taste it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolute dog shit. This
you
beer.
Think so?
Absolute dog shit.
Dude, I think this is way better.
This
than
is like, funny. This is like the sugar, like the wort. In the lager tun before it's even made. Like, this is just like, you grab a handful of the cereal grain and it's like, throw it in your mouth. I'm like,
that's what it reminds me of. I think that's good. I like that stuff.
Because to me, it's...
I'll take the wort before, like Derek was talking about, like a scoop of the grains with like the sugar water, the wort still in there, and eat that. That's
but
good.
To me, you can get like the toasty,
yeah,
kind of that breadiness to it.
Yeah,
I'm getting the very, very heavy corn.
Yeah,
I'm just getting over the top biscuit. Over the top, it's like too sweet for me.
See, I don't get it. I don't get it biscuity. I think it's like toffee and like and
maybe
toast.
Maybe I have a sweet tooth. Maybe that's but why you, I've
almost
liked
like
it
caramel
better.
Too. Yeah. It was like some caramel,
like caramel toffee, like mm-hmm. that kind of just toast, like darker mm-hmm. kind of sweetness. So like,
dude, pass yours over. I'll finish yours. This is fucking
please.
Good.
I mean, that's why we passed like the different three. This cerveza is lighter. You kind of understood like the light kind of lager feel ish.
Yeah.
Then you have the IPA, which has hops. Great choice, by the way, hops. It kind of played out well. And then you have the amber that kind of gives you that darker, why I always talk about the brown ale, and kind of like darker beers are sexier. We yeah. like. I like darker beers.
You liked the IPA?
Did I like it?
Yeah.
I liked none of them.
Yeah, I didn't think any of them were good.
No, I would never really? Get these again in my entire life.
Yeah, it's too bad.
I'd drink the amber again.
And then I
just
I,
because, it, like... I mean, it's the best. This so is easily I, the best non-alcoholic
yeah, yeah,
beer
yeah.
I've
if,
had.
If this was the spread, you know, these three, if I had the choice... And I was like the designated driver. I had to go, you know, with you guys.
And there was
to
only
a bar.
Beer drink, no soda,
the only
no
thing,
water. Yeah, gotcha.
You know, I had to figure out something. I'd drink that.
But yeah. Why? I'm curious why.
Well, so this is a an interesting part of the conversation because you do feel like to a certain extent you miss out when you don't drink. You miss out on. A whole subsection of like social life, right? Especially if you have friends that do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going out, if you're going out with friends, you know, on the weekend or whatever, and you're the only person that's not drinking, it's hard not to feel like singled out sometimes.
Left out, if you will.
Yeah. And, you know, you can play that off by being the designated driver and like, you know, you're still part of the group, whatever. But if you have something like this where it's, you're still, in a sense, experiencing what everyone else is experiencing yeah. and sharing in that experience, you know, that's perhaps something that can augment the experience for you, the you know, hanging out with everybody. You know, if, you know, I'd be honest, most of the time I just default to like a Dr. Pepper or something, but you guys kind of scoff at me every time I say that.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's tough. It's tough. You have diabetes,
you can add,
man.
You can add whiskey or vodka and Dr. Pepper.
But something like this, you know, I can see myself like turning to feel more part of the group, you know? And that's not always the most important thing in the world to feel part of the group, but
right.
sometimes it
no,
can be,
I understand you.
It can be part of the experience that you want to.
That's a very human thing to want to be a part.
Yeah.
Because you want to feel wanted. Yeah. Who doesn't want to feel wanted or exactly. be a part of something? No one, you know, we have this like sensitive self-esteem, all of us do. We have this fragile, don't fuck with our self-esteem because some of us are really hurt. Some of us can hide it better than others, but we all have that. We all want to be wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you came on this show and wanted to experience, you know, craft beer. And we tried our best to do non-alcoholic and we kind of showcased different styles. So then hopefully you can come out with, knowing when we talk about like darker beers or hops, you can be like, I can kind of understand what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, what kind of questions do you have for Wyatt and I? You've listened to probably almost 40 of our episodes and we're almost at 60 now. And so what questions do you have for us as beer drinkers or beer connoisseurs, if you will? I'm curious to see for a non-alcoholic beer drinker.
Well, I think I'm interested in seeing the brewing process. I you know, you guys talk about it, the way you talk about it is always so interesting. You know, you're talking about adding certain things at certain times and how the different components of the beer interact with each other, how the yeast works and it's all really interesting. And the thing that I always find interesting when you talk about like infections and things like that, you know, it's just like such an interesting concept of like, don't let that yeast get out, you know, cause that'll ruin our whole
develops legs and goes fucks with everything. Yeah.
It's such an interesting concept to me. So I mean that is interesting to me, the process and, you know, I don't know. That's hard to, you guys offer so much quality information. Oh, I feel like I already know it all.
Producer right here saying what we need to hear.
One day he might try a beer and he's going to be like, oh yeah, it tasted exactly like I thought it would.
Horse piss.
I'm good. I don't ever need to try one.
Never
again.
Do that again. What a waste of my time.
No way, dude. He's going to try a brown and he's going to fucking love it.
You may. But Corey,
I don't know. If I were to ever try one, the very first one would be that chocolate milk stout.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll get you a non-alcoholic version of that motherfucker. Hell yeah.
That one smelled so good.
Can I say more about these beers specifically? Because we just tried a bunch of non-alcoholic beers. I've been super excited to try non-alcoholic beers. I am a little bit disappointed. And like, I got my hopes up because I kept reading on their website that it tastes just like regular beer. It just doesn't have the alcohol. And I had some friends who I had told, like, dude, I'm going to go try a bunch of non-alcoholic beers. And they're like, dude, I've tried some non-alcoholic beers. And I was like, all you ever tried was like the Coors non-alcoholic and O'Doul's. Yeah. And yeah, well, they hadn't tried Heineken Zero. I've actually heard Heineken Zero is a solid Pilsner. That's going to be next. And I want to try the Budweiser one as well. But
Corey 2.0 episode.
Yeah, Corey 2.0.
You got to give me some time for this buzz to wear off.
God.
They were like, it's weird because the alcohol adds more flavor than you think it does. And I was like, well, I don't like super high alcohol beers. Like, I like low ABV beers. And so, like, this is just the next step. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's true. I think that what we're smelling that's weird is malt without the alcohol. I think we're expecting to have the alcohol, and we think it's weird. It probably doesn't smell that weird. You probably don't even know what we're talking about when we say it smells weird because you're not used to smelling the other ones.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I really want you to understand. But yeah,
I wish this is what I want to do next time we try non-alcoholic beers. I want to have non-alcoholic beers next to alcoholic beers and compare and contrast. I think the Heineken would be a great example.
Yeah.
And I think the Budweiser, because we can have a Budweiser next to a Bud Zero, and we can have the Heineken next to the Heineken Zero. And compare and contrast, because I think that it just smells and tastes weird without the alcohol. And I think if these had the alcohol, it would be a lot better. I don't really like the hops in the IPA, but man,
but it was a good way to showcase someone who doesn't know hops,
right?
What hops are.
I would also like to do with Corey a hop water episode.
We do hop water
because I think that's a super easy way to showcase hops.
I will say that this amber, the aftertaste is very pleasant.
Yeah, like caramel.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It lingers. It's like coats the mouth.
And so that's what a typical brown would be.
Yeah.
And so I truly think if you were ever to become a craft beer drinker, browns would be a go-to for you. Yeah. I really do. Because you have that caramel sweet tooth.
Yeah.
I think it'd be an ESB, brown ale, any of those.
Mild
would be bomb. Yeah. Anyway. But Corey, one last question before we go to the news and other things. Future goals. What future goals do you have personally for yourself as a producer? And what future goals do you have for us as the Taste Masters?
We'll start with the Taste Masters. I want you guys to be as successful as possible. You know, I listen to a variety of podcasts, and you hear about, all these podcast networks and things. Like, not that I have that vision for you guys, but I do envision a podcast where you guys can, you know, sort of make half a living off of it, right? Your livelihoods are centered around the podcast as well as anything else that you're doing. Or at the very least, it's a component of your livelihood. obviously that requires time and effort and listeners, people to download and review and leave comments. Hint, hint. I want that to be the goal for you guys. And you know, we've got some things in the work to try to step towards that end goal. As far as my contribution to that, I want the production value to be good throughout, you know, for everyone listening to feel like this is a quality production and, never really feel like, it sounded weird or, whatever. I feel like they're being cheated by listening to the podcast. As far as me personally, like, first and foremost, my studio is a music studio. My goal, what I really like to do is record music, record bands, record, you know, singer-songwriters. I've recorded several artists. In the last couple of years, this studio has only been really up and running in its current state for 2.5 years. And I've done a number of projects that, you know, I feel like they turned out well. I feel like they sound good. I feel like the comments that I received back were satisfied customers. COVID has kind of taken its toll on my ability to bring people into the studio, people's interest in coming into the studio. So this year has been pretty slow beyond doing the podcast with you guys. But my goal for the studio is to bring in more artists, bring in more projects, get more content, more music under my belt and out into the world for people to listen to, you know. Hell stuff yeah. That more stuff that has my name attached to it in some way.
You know? I like that. Hopefully Hawaii and I can help facilitate that for you. And that'd be awesome if we can kind of help funnel people into Fuse Audio. You guys do a great job for us, and we're super grateful for what you do for Hawaii and I in this podcast. So thank you.
Yeah.
That leads us into our news and other such things.
You guys screw it up every single time. News and other stuff. News and other stuff.
That's why we have a producer here to call us up. But I have one called the five trends that are shaping craft beer in 2021. Right now, brewery shakeout. And this is from the Mercury News. They're saying that the brewery shakeout, because of COVID, over 22% of brewers have shut down because of breweries. So they're thinking that it's still going to be kind of hard for breweries to keep going. They're also saying, predicting that rise of low and no alcohol beers. So kind of funny that we're doing that.
Yes.
They're saying that very, very low or seltzers are becoming a trend, and no alcohol in beers will become a trend. More juiciness. So more hazy IPAs will be more juicy, more flavorful, more bombs. And then crafted malt. So more malt, not just malts from big companies in the UK or, you know, Europe, but crafted malt here in the United States, which is funny because we have Solstice Malt, local maltster, who's producing great fucking malt that we're using in our beers. And the last
check it out on Tastemasters podcast.
That's right. We have them interviewed. And then more hard seltzers. Unfortunately, seltzers is not going to go anywhere. It's just going to keep rising up because people love the static water and the ABV in the static water.
You know, like, man, if all you're looking to do is get drunk, that's probably the best way to do it, though. Because, like, it's the easiest way to get drunk without getting a hangover and stuff.
If you're on the golf course or if you're on, you're boating, you grab a seltzer, get shmammy.
Golf course or... So if you're wearing an afghan, if you have any reason or call to wear an afghan...
If you're wearing a shawl or anything with that name, you know...
Honestly, you know, that's funny because... I feel like my wife, because my wife and I every once in a while talk about like what kind of drunk we would be, what kind of alcohol if we were to drink alcohol, what would it be? You know, and I feel like I would be kind of a beer / whiskey person.
Hell yeah. Oh, 100%.
My wife feels like she'd be a seltzer, cocktail, vodka person, right? Those kind of flavored, you know. Cocktails.
I'm telling you right now, Wyatt and I have been bartenders and for a while now. I think your wife would be the I love you drunk, and I think you'd be the bro.
Oh no.
You don't think so?
My wife would be the meanest bitch in
the
world.
No way. Oh, yeah.
We've talked about this. She admits she would be a mean drunk. And I don't think so. I think I would be like a mellow drunk.
Just kind of like happy, go lucky.
Happy, but maybe like somber almost. Like
Corey, there's only one way to find out.
I think you'd be pretty lovey as a drunk. I think you'd get surprisingly touchy. You know?
Touchy.
Yeah. I think surprisingly touchy.
In a non-creepy way.
Don't go gross.
I think your go-to drinks would either be one of these two. It would either be Jameson or Johnny Walker. It would be one of the two. I don't really know which one, but it would be one of those two because those are the two that I kind of associate with like
a man.
Not necessarily.
A bearded wonder.
I think people in bands. Those are guys who are in bands. Johnny Walker or Jameson is their go-to.
And Corey, you have been a part of a couple bands, huh?
Yeah. I have. Yeah.
Well, I mean, every time I see you, there's drums around, and it's specifically drums make me think Johnny Walker or Jameson. Something about those like.
So, Corey, when you have your midlife crisis, my number is... feel free to hit me up, because I'll take care of you.
Yeah, he wants you to get all touchy with him.
But, Corey, at the end of the day, thank you so much for giving your time to drink non-alcoholic beers for us, and thank you for what you do behind the scenes. It's probably not appreciated as much as we should put out there, but thank you so much for the hard work you put into creating such great episodes for us and the content. You put up with Wyatt and I over and over. Thanks for being one of my bros for years, dude. But like I said earlier, when you're ready for that midlife crisis, I'm there for you. All right?
That's good to know. It's good to know that I have a safety net.
Yeah. Wyatt, you got anything else for us today?
Nah, I'm good, dude.
All right. Until the next non-alcoholic beverage, bro.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded @Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.